you're starting to, you're starting to get tired of seeing me up here.
But it's okay.
Busy.
So one of my favorite things about watching Jude grow up, you might get a hint of this based on some of the guided meditation, is watching him explore everything for the first time in the world. Because everything for Jude is new. As many of you know, my mom, dad, Cody, Jude, and Linda Ross went out to Cincinnati to the annual conference. And when we walk into the conference center, one of the favorite things that Jude decided he liked to do while at conference, ride the stairs. As soon as you walk in, there's this massive escalator going up to the top. And so the very first time we get in there and he sees the escalator, these moving stairs, he goes, wow! But you see, it's not just the big things. It's not just escalators and elevators, of course. But it's the little things, too. A couple weeks ago, I bought a new pair of shoes, and the shoebox was sitting by the recycling bin. And he walks over to it and goes to take the lid off, and he goes, wow! Over a shoebox. Everything is new. Everything is fascinating. Everything is so cool, and it is great. And it's this childlike wonder that he has when he approaches the world. Genesis 1 is the story of creation, of God creating the world, and everything was new. And after God created each part of the world, God proclaimed that it was good, very good. But how often do we still look at the world and see the goodness of God? How often do we look at the world and see the goodness that God saw when he created it? How often do we look at the world with that childlike wonder and go, wow? God proclaimed that the creation was good and that goodness is still present in the world. Yes, since creation, we've had the fall, and some stuff is not good. But the original goodness is still present. We just have to look for it. Part of my hope when we did the guided meditation was that we could look at the world and see the good, even the parts that we miss in the day-to-day. That we could see the world with fresh eyes as if it was something completely new that we've never seen before, like Jude or Aaron or Lena sees the world. So I want to ask you to do one more piece of imagery. This one will be short. One more piece of imagery with me. I want you to close your eyes. So go ahead and close your eyes. And picture the beauty of creation. The beauty of new life that God offers, whatever that is for you. So picture the beauty. You can open your eyes. What did you picture?
The sea.
The sea. I feel like the picture I have. African safari. What else did you picture?
Clouds.
Clouds.
Right after my accident in 91, I died, and they brought me back to the park.
So being brought back to life.
Driving over a mountain.
Driving over. You're going to like another picture I have. Flowers.
Sunset.
Fall leaves.
Fall leaves. And something else.
The Ark in Kentucky.
The Ark in Kentucky. My parents were just there. So now I'm going to challenge some of these images. These are all things that if I were to close my eyes and picture the beauty of creation, that I would likely picture as well. But most of us probably pictured an end product. Bear with me for a moment. When we pictured something good, if you picture, say, we're missing the whole Hall Baker clan right now, or a bunch of the Hall Baker clan because they're currently at a fair, but I expected one of them to say a cow. So I put a cow in here. But if you picture a cow or a newborn calf, do you picture a fully grown cow or a baby calf, or do you picture the actual labor of a cow giving birth? You picture the baby calf, right? You don't picture the labor, you picture the product. In your guided meditation in Genesis 1, and you imagine God creating light, and God said, "Light be," did you picture just this expanse of light? Or did you picture this small light that grew and grew and grew, enveloping the darkness? Do we picture the end product of the trees on the ground, fully grown, or do we picture saplings? When we think of the good, and we think of beauty, we often think of things that are new, that are the end product. But by focusing on the product, how much do we miss in the process? The story of creation in Genesis 1 is a story of God proclaiming good through the process. God had a vision of what the final product would be, but God reiterated that creation was good throughout the entire process of creating it. God created light and dark on the first day and proclaimed it was good. God created dry land and the waters and saw it was good. God brought forth vegetation, plants, trees, fruit, proclaimed it was good. Very good. God proclaimed goodness throughout the process, not just in seeing the end product. How often do we look at the current version of a product and get frustrated or struggle to see the goodness and beauty because we forget it is in process? Let me use an example. So hopefully I can describe this well enough. But my dad has picked up a hobby over the years, or over the last year, sorry, of working with acrylics. Epoxy, sorry. See, I messed it up right there. Epoxy. And so he pours this epoxy in various colors and then uses various techniques to work with the design. But working with epoxy is a process of pouring, doing some technique with the design, and letting it dry. Pouring, doing some technique with the design, and letting it dry. Hopefully I'm getting this right. Okay. So let me show you two different pictures of the same piece at two different steps in the process. And so here's the first picture. He's been very into trying to do beach themes. And so this is one step in the process. And I don't know about any of you, but I would not be able to even do this. But you can very clearly see the sand, the water, and then some different rocks that he's put in between. But let's go to the next slide. This was a later stage in the process. There's a glare on it from whenever he took the picture, so it's not as perfect as what you would love to see. But here's the thing. You can't get to this point, go back to the previous picture, without going through that first. And you have to be able to look at that and know what it should look like at this point and proclaim that it is good even now, so that you can get to this. Both are beautiful. Both are good in their own ways. When God created light and said it was good for simply being light. Not because it would later help plants grow, not because it would later give humans the needed sunshine that they needed and the light to see, but because at the beginning of its process of being created, it was good. We can talk about God creating the world, my dad creating art, anything in our own life that you create, but we are creations in process as well. So there's a fun fact that your body fully renews itself every 7 years. I don't get into that. It's not exactly true. It's a bit more complicated. So I want to go into a little bit of detail there because there's some interesting things I found. Your body has 37 trillion cells. To put that into perspective, I like to think of it this way. 1 million seconds, we're going to take a detour real quick. 1 million seconds is 11 days. 1 billion seconds is 31 years. And 1 trillion seconds is 31,688 years. You have 37 trillion cells, which would be the equivalent of seconds to years of over 1 million years. Even just from that, God is great, amen?
Amen.
And your body is constantly renewing those cells. Now, some will never be renewed, which is why that fun fact is not exactly correct, such as your tooth enamel. Some regenerate every 10 to 15 years, such as fat cells, skeletal muscles, and your bones. Red blood cells last about 4 months. Skin cells are replaced every 2 to 3 weeks. And cells in the lining of your stomach renew about every 2 days. We're not just talking, though, about the renewal of a few cells. Your skin sheds roughly 500 million cells each day. And then while most of our brain cells are not regenerating, they are constantly forming new neural networks, neural pathways, based on our experiences each and every day. Our physical body is constantly changing and constantly in process. And isn't there beauty in that process? While much of you is the same every 10 to 15 years, much of your physical body is a new creation every 10 to 15 years. And this process is mirrored in some capacity within much of creation around us. So do we look at creation around us as constantly changing, as constant new creations? Are we looking with childlike wonder into the world to see it as new and exciting? Do we interact with other people, looking for the good, looking for the newness in creation, as people who are constantly changing into new creations? Or do we get stuck in a rut, seeing the world, seeing others, seeing ourselves in the same way, expecting the same patterns of behavior with the same negative expectations? I have been very blessed to see this change occur within a relationship in my life. There's someone who I have known for years. And for years we have had fully encompasses the description of our relationship. But over the last year, that relationship has had the opportunity to heal. We both started to see each other in new ways. I'm sure we both have changed, and that change has taken time. We have been in process. Our relationship was in process. But we allowed ourselves to get past the hurts and past the ways of seeing each other to be able to move into a new relationship. See, beyond our physical bodies being in process, spiritually we are in process as well. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. We are new creations, but we are not the final product yet. We are in process. Any of us who have been made new by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior know that this is not a one-and-done event in our life. That we are made new each and every day whenever we mess up and have to go back to God in confession and repentance. The Believer's Church Commentary puts it this way. Listeners of this verse are apt to think that when a person is saved, old habits, evil thoughts, and lustful looks are forever done away, and everything becomes literally new in a person's life. We know that this is not true. The verse does not describe a believer's practice, but rather their position. Let me say that one more time. This verse does not describe a believer's practice, but rather their position. Notice it says that if anyone is in Christ, the words "in Christ" are key to the passage. In Christ, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Unfortunately, in me, not all this is true yet. But as I progress in the Christian life, I desire that my practice may increasingly correspond to my position. One day when the Lord Jesus returns, the two will be in perfect agreement. End quote from the Believer's Church Commentary. I just found that powerful, that it is about our position and our practice is constantly in process. It's our practice, our thoughts, our behaviors aligning with our position in Christ to become the perfect new creation. And through that process, there may be challenges, there may be sufferings, we will mess up, there may be things that don't go our way. But the title of the sermon is God said, proclaimed it to be good. How do we see the goodness and the beauty in the process? Because as many times as things go wrong, so much will go right. The beauty is not necessarily in the struggle, but in how we are shaped by those struggles. The resilience and strength that is built, the relationships that are created and repaired, the beauty and goodness in how each and every one of those struggles brings us closer to God. When we were driving to Cincinnati, and God was giving me this sermon of looking at God's beauty and wonder, he gave me this illustration based on driving. As I drive on a busy highway, I am a defensive driver, and I'm constantly looking for something to go wrong. I'm looking in my mirror to see what's behind me, to my left and to my right to check my blind spots, and to the front to look out for brake lights. I am constantly watching for someone to do something wrong so I can protect myself. But what beauty is missed by doing so? I'm not saying don't be a defensive driver. I have avoided many accidents because of doing so. But if that's how we look at the world, if we are constantly looking for things to go wrong and for people to make mistakes, then all we will see is the bad. All we will see are things that make us upset, and we will constantly have barriers up to protect ourselves. And what beauty will we miss in the process? Anytime I drive out west, I prefer to actually go down into Maryland and take Interstate 70 to 68. Two reasons. One, I hate paying the tolls on the turnpike. But the second reason is because of this view. Go to the next picture. And it's not as clear, because because of having to blow it up. I think it's called Sideline Hill. And it is this massive structure. If any of you have driven 68, you know exactly what this is. It is this massive structure, and as soon as you get past, it is this gorgeous overlook of God's creation. No matter how many times I have driven this, I love this view. Does it mean I'm not paying attention to the road? No. It means I'm finding beauty in the process. I'm still finding beauty in the process of a 7-hour drive with a 2-year-old. And making intentional choices to look for the beauty. God created the earth and proclaimed it was good. Very good. I am looking for the goodness, not just in the end product of creation or new creation in Christ, but in the process of the world creating, recreating, renewing, changing, and growing. Much of this sermon came from both my drive to Cincinnati and the devotional. And the devotional had a prompt that you read Genesis 1 and then write a poem. So I'd like to end my sermon with the poem that I wrote. It is titled Beauty in Transition. I sit and picture the beauty of creation. I first think of autumn leaves, colors of red, orange, yellow, flanking the mountainside. A stunning display of color in creation. A poignant reminder of beauty in transition. I picture the beauty of creation, and I think of my son's laugh and smile, of his thoughtfulness, as he hands me a pretzel from his bag, saying, "Here, Mama," sharing a favorite treat, overjoyed when I accept his offering. I picture the beauty of creation, I picture love. New love, old love, reignited love, breathing love. I picture a widow turning the pages of pictures of her late husband. Sadness overcoming her face, but a smile in the sadness. As memories return, the love for her husband still strong. I picture the beauty of creation, and I picture people working together, laughing, conversing, crying, holding each other, the beauty of relationship, having someone to share the joys and hardships, to lean on, to celebrate with, to help carry the load. And yet, in all the beauty, there are moments that beauty fades. The leaves fall from the trees, leaving them bare, the mountainside now different variations of brown. The child's laughter turns to cries and screams as he is told no, not allowed to do as he wants. The love on a widow's face turns sour as she resents her husband for leaving her alone. The laughter and conversation turn to anger and hostility when disagreement causes division. And yet, the beauty, God's beauty is still there. We just have to look harder, work harder, to see the beauty in transition. The bare trees prepare for winter, losing the weight of the leaves, allowing them to bear the weight of the snow. The child's cries met with love and understanding, as the child learns what is allowed and what is not, boundaries keeping him safe. The grieving widow's resentment overcome by love from and for her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, giving her joy in the life she has left. The disagreements lead to understanding and growth, a letting go of old relationships, the creation of new relationships. This is beauty through the highs and lows. The beauty through growth and change. The beauty through loss. The beauty in the creation of something new. This is beauty in transition.